We were looking last week at the walk of holiness, and we began to see the pattern behind that is the put off, be renewed in your mind, and then put on. And now Paul's going to go a little further, and he's going to begin to illustrate this to us practically. He's going to teach us how to be holy in a number of areas in our lives. If you just look, skim down the page of Ephesians 4 with me, you'll see in verse 25, he's going to talk about holiness in the area of honesty. In verse 26, and later on in verses 30 and 32, he's going to speak about emotions. In verses 28, he's going to speak about integrity and work. He's going to go on to speak about immorality and covetousness in chapter 5, verse 3. He deals with godly speech in verse 29, chapter 5, verse 4, and 5, verse 12. So now he's really going to get practical as he describes what does Christ-likeness look like. But tonight we want to look at honesty, putting off lying and speaking the truth. When you're in the court of law, what do they make you swear? Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth? And that ought to be the motto of a Christian, to want the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And in fact, one of the most integral parts of being Christ-like is honesty. If you aren't honest, if you don't embrace truth, you can never progress towards holiness. Having lies in your life, having deceit in your life, is exactly what's going to stop you from becoming Christ-like. So this is going to be really fundamental if we're going to move forward to be like Christ, is to grasp honesty as a Christian. You say, well, I know all about honesty. I'm a good, honest person. Well, then you immediately have a problem. That's like the person who says, I don't have a problem with pride. I'm very humble. And we're going to see tonight from the Word of God that we even lie about our lying. And we need the Word of God to put its finger on us. Man lies because he's forsaken truth. What is truth? The answer might surprise you. God himself is truth. Truth is not just something that God does or something God says. God himself is truth. You know, truth is maybe just another word for reality. It's what is, what truly exists. It's reality without misrepresentations, without warping it, without changing it, without watering it down. And the fundamental reality is God. Remove God and you have nothing. Remove God from the picture and you no longer have anything. God is the reason. He is the source. He is the meaning behind everything else. Paul writes in Romans 11, "For from him and through him and to him are all things." And as man, from Adam and Adam's children and children, right down to us, as man has forsaken truth, he increasingly embraces what? Lies. The book of Romans 1:25 tells us that man exchanged the truth about God for a lie. And because he refuses to turn to the light that he knows exists, because he refuses to retain God in his mind, everything he does and looks at and thinks becomes part of a big lie. And it's the lie that I can have my own life apart from God. It's the lie that I can live without God. And when we forsake God, our life is increasingly filled with lies. Lies about God. Lies about life. Lies about ourselves. Lies about others. And we lie. We lie to others. We lie to others about God. We lie to others about them. We lie to others about ourselves. We lie to ourselves about God. We lie to ourselves about others. And we lie to ourselves about ourselves. I didn't practice saying that, by the way. You see, man, because man wants life, we all want life, as I spoke about last week. We want abundant life, we want joy. And because we want that, and because we've forsaken the fundamental truth, we use lies to get life. You see, we use lies to try work for our advantage. We seek to protect ourselves, cover ourselves, hide ourselves, promote ourselves, enlarge ourselves by twisting, altering, denying, changing the truth. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is above all things what? Deceitful. The Bible says the number one defining characteristic of the human heart is lies. Above all things, it's deceitful. It's the most recognizable trait of the human heart. It specializes in lying. You say, boy, that's strong. Well, you know, the Bible says that lying is not just something that we do. Lying is something we are, apart from God. And 1 John 2:21 makes a statement that we might regard as obvious, but it's fundamental to understanding this. It's profound. He says, John writes, no lies of the truth. You say, well, that's pretty obvious. Well, why did he bother writing it if it's so obvious? I believe he wrote it to say that no falsehood is part of God's reality. And when you take part of a lie, in any form, any shape or form, you are slipping deeper into darkness. Have you ever read about the cave divers? Always send shivers down my spine. These divers who are trained to dive in these huge lakes that are found in caves. And of course, caves are completely cut off from light. And as they go down in this crystal clear water, most often, they have lights that guide them. And they go deeper and deeper and deeper into these caves, which snake, and it's a whole network, a whole maze of tunnels as they go deeper and deeper into this cave. And if their light malfunctions, what happens? They're lost. And there's no way back. And there have obviously been cases like that. And you know what? When you and I lie, we're slipping deeper and deeper into a dark cave of our own making. We're getting further and further and further away from the light. Keep lying, keep rejecting the light, keep turning away from the light, and you will eventually be so deep inside a cave of lies, you'll never see the light again. You find people who are in bondage to deception, it's because they have believed more and more and more lies. The more you lie about yourself, the more you lie about others, the more you lie about God, the further you slip away from what really is, and ultimately you'll end up in eternal darkness. And the prophet Jonah said something interesting. He said, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Isn't that an interesting verse? If you observe lying vanities, you forsake your own mercy. You're turning away from what will save you. You're turning away from the light that will help you. And lying is forsaking the very light that will save you. And God hates lying. In Proverbs chapter 6, what does he say? These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, what's number two? A lying tongue. God hates it. He hates lying because it's a distortion of reality. And how can he get anyone? How can he reach them? How can he save them if they will not admit what he says is true is true? I used this illustration just the other day. We were talking at home, and if you have somebody who's blind, and you show them, for example, this book, and they feel it, and they say, oh, I know what this is cheddar cheese. And you say, no, it's a book. They say, no, I know cheddar cheese. I can see cheddar cheese. I know all about cheddar cheese. You say to them, no, it's a book. And if they continue to say, no, look, don't you tell me it's a book. That's your truth. My truth is it's cheddar cheese. Fact of the matter is, because they do not embrace the light that's in front of them, because they cannot see it, they will take their own interpretation of what is there and proceed to try and eat the book. And you know, that's a pretty humorous and pathetic illustration of what really happens in the spiritual realities. You say, God is real, and if you don't accept Christ as Savior, you will perish in an eternal lake of fire. And people say, no, that's your truth. My truth is that God will accept me for who I am and what I've done, and I'll just keep being good, and we'll all end up in nice places. And it's not just their truth. There is a truth, and we need to be as close as possible to that truth and embrace it. So the walk of truth and this walk of holiness is going to necessarily mean that we forsake lying and embrace truth. We're to put off lying. If you see in chapter 4, verse 25, you can see that very pattern right there. Therefore, wherefore, putting away lying, there's the put off. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, there's the put on. For we are members one of another, there's the renewing of the mind, the meaning. Now, in order to help us put off lying, I'm going to take some time here to help us identify what lying looks like in our lives. The Bible's giving us a very simple command, put away lying. But elsewhere, the Bible gives us many different illustrations and examples of how that lying manifests itself. You say, well, why would you bother doing that? Well, because we lie about our lying. And if you had to go to the average person today and say, do you lie? They'll say, oh, we lie? No. You see, I don't tell lies. I tell white lies. You know, there's a saying that says people who tell white lies quickly become colorblind. There's no such thing as a white lie. We need to understand the various different ways in which we lie. And so I'm going to give you firstly four kinds of lies, and I'm going to give you different ways that we lie. The first kind of lie, if you want to take these down, the first kind of lie that we're most familiar with is the outright lie. The outright lie is the blatant, no holding back, total denial of the truth. This is saying no when we know the answer is yes. It's saying yes when we know the answer is no. Remember Peter, the night of Christ's arrest, was there around the fire, and what did they say? You were with Jesus, and what did he say? I tell you, I do not know the man. An outright lie. We like to think that we don't tell many of these outright lies. There are other kinds of lies. The second kind of lie is a half-truth, which of course is a non-truth. But a half-truth is like, for example, when a teenager is asked by her mother, did you go to school today? And they say, yes. But what they mean is, I went to school and I met my friends there and then we went off to the mall for the rest of the day. Right? A half-truth. Do you remember Abraham told a half-truth when he was down in Egypt and he was scared that if he admitted that Sarah, who was very beautiful, was his wife, that they would kill him? It was a custom of the day. You know, just kill the husband, you can get the wife. Well, he figured, if they ask me, I'll just say, she's my sister. And she kind of was. It was his half-sister. It was a half-truth, which made it what? A lie. He left out the fundamental part, yes, she's my wife. A half-truth. The third kind of lie is evading the truth. Do you remember when Cain, after he had killed Abel, God came to him and said, Cain, where is your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? Was that an answer? Evading the truth. That's when someone puts their finger on something and what do we say? Why are you asking me? What about so-and-so? Why are you always, what are you so holy? Evading the truth. Another form of lying. And the fourth kind of lie is exaggeration. You see, exaggeration is when we try to make the truth seem more intense than it is, to build our case, to make our point larger than it really is. It might sound surprising to hear that even the godly prophet Elijah fell into this, and we know that he was a mighty man of God, but what did he say before God when he was really discouraged? Oh, Lord, you know, don't you know that I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down their altars, and I, even I only, am left. Now, did Elijah truly go through Israel and take a survey of every single person and say, do you serve the Lord God? Do you serve Jehovah? No, he didn't know that, did he? And even someone as wonderful as Elijah had become careless with the truth. By saying, I alone, he was exaggerating. And God rebuked him, didn't he? What did he say? I've got 7,000, actually. You're just one of them. Exaggeration. So there's four kinds of lies that we can tell. Exaggerations are kind. Whether it be over-exaggeration to make things seem larger, or under-exaggeration to make things seem not too bad, either way, it's a lie. So four kinds of lies. Outright lie, half-truth, evading the truth, and exaggerating. Those are kinds of lies, but you know, there's many ways in which we lie. And I want to give them to you. 11 ways. You thought one verse was going to be a short sermon. 11 ways that we lie. Firstly, hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is the putting on of a face. Go to Matthew 23 for a moment and read what Jesus said to the Pharisees. What did Jesus say to these Pharisees in verse 27? Of Matthew 23, perhaps his most stinging words of all. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Hypocrisy is a form of lying. It's putting on of a face. It's acting a part that you think will gain men's respect. But it's being something that you are not. Can I say something? When you as a Christian are trying to serve the Lord and you fall and you don't do right and you come back and you confess it to the Lord, that's not hypocrisy. That's just spiritual growth, sanctification. Hypocrisy is when you as a believer pretend to be something that you're not. And it's a real danger in Christian circles, isn't it? When we come together, that desire to impress, the desire to be looked upon as better, the desire to appear more spiritually mature, to look more godly, to kind of fit in. And the Pharisees were masters at this, weren't they? Blowing a trumpet when they gave, trying to look like they were fasting, made their phylacteries broad and the fringes of the garments long. It was all an act, a lie, hypocrisy. The second way in which we lie is justifying. Justifying. Proverbs 26 verse 12. You can turn there if you like. Proverbs 26 verse 12. I said that lying always tries to make us look better. And justifying is the lying that does that in many cases. Proverbs 26:12 says, "Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him." You see, the liar who always wants to justify himself, the Bible says, is more hope of a fool than him. Somewhere, sometime in life, we're going to fail. We're going to fall. We're going to sin. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to lose. And justifying is when we try to find any and every reason to vindicate ourselves. Though the fault is ours, and we know it's ours, and probably everybody else knows it's ours, what do? We justify. Remember King Saul? He was a master at this. 1 Samuel 13, he was not supposed to have sacrificed. Only Samuel, the prophet and the priest, was to sacrifice. Well, Saul gets a little nervous. He goes ahead, does the sacrifice. Samuel arrives late. Samuel says, "What have you done?" What does Saul say? "Well, the people were scattered and you came late, and so I forced myself." Or 1 Samuel 15, he was told to go out, destroy all the Amalekites, don't come back with any spoil, just completely wipe them out. He comes back with a whole bunch of bull and sheep, nice animals. And what's happening? Samuel arrives and he says, "Did you obey?" "Oh yes, I obeyed." And in the background, meh, meh. He says, "Well, what means this bleating in my ears?" And he says, "Well, I decided that I could actually use those animals for sacrifices for the Lord. Isn't that a good idea, Samuel?" And Samuel says, "No, to obey is better than sacrifice." Justifying. Justifying is a form of lying. Third way in which we lie is blaming. Linked to justifying is blaming. And this form of lying says, "Don't pin all the fault on me. It was because of someone else." What happened in the garden? Adam sins, and then God says, "What did you do?" And he says, "It's the woman that you gave me." And what does the woman say? "It's the snake that you created." The only one not taking any blame is the snake. You know, he just slithers away. "Yep, that was me." Blaming. And do you remember what happened when Aaron made the golden calf? I'll ask you to turn there for a moment. Exodus 32. Exodus 32. Exodus 32. He makes this golden calf, and Moses, verse 21 of Exodus 32, "Moses said unto Aaron, What did this people unto thee, that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot." Here comes the blame. "Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, Make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not, we know not what is become of him. And I said unto them, Whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf." The most incredible fire ever, right? You throw gold in and ready-made calf. Blame the fire. Blame it. Form of lying. It's never my fault. And even if it is my fault, you've got to share the fault with other people. Blaming. Fourth kind of lying, comparing. Comparing. Now, I know that there are legitimate comparisons to be made, but this kind of lying says, look at others and then judge me. Or see how bad others are. I'm better. Or see how strong the competition is. I can't manage. I can't compete. Or see, we're all sinners. Don't judge me harshly. It's a false standard. We know in our hearts that all of us are going to be judged individually, don't we? But we lie by trying to hide behind the faults of another or by riding on the successes of another. Do you remember that Pharisee in Jesus' parable? He went up to the temple to pray, and how did he pray? I thank thee, Lord, that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. A lie, comparing. The fifth kind of lie might surprise you. The fifth way in which we lie, and that is avoiding others. Avoiding others. This is a form of lying. When Adam knew that he had sinned in the garden, what did he do? He avoided God at first, didn't he? He hid away. It's kind of a dumb thing to hide away from God, but that's what we do when we're in the grip of deception. God comes walking and he hides. And when we avoid people, it can be a form of lying. I know, oops, here comes the pastor, and we get out. Why? Because he might confront us with something. Right. Maybe at church I'm going to get confronted with something, so I just won't go to church. Oh, here comes that guy, he's always preaching the gospel at me. I just will avoid him. It's a form of lying. Form of denying the truth. John chapter 4 is our next stop for the sixth kind of lying. John chapter 4. And here we see the Samaritan woman committing this kind of lie. Hypocrisy, justifying, blaming, comparing, avoiding others. How are you doing so far? The Word of God hits us hard, doesn't it? Another kind of lie, believe it or not, is changing the subject. Now, there certainly is a time to change the subject when the subject doesn't need to be discussed. But when someone's pinpointing a sin and a fault in our lives, and then we change the subject to get away from it, that's lying. You see, here in John chapter 4, Jesus was speaking to the Samaritan woman, and he just exposes something in her life. In verse 16, he said, "Go call thy husband and come hither." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou hast now is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly." Right? So he exposes the one lie. Yeah, you're right, you don't have a husband, that you're not married, because you're living with a man now and you've had five. Now what does she do? Does she say, "Lord, forgive me. Oh, please." No, now she begins to speak about the current political situation between the Jews and the Samaritans, doesn't she? Look at verse number 20. "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." You see, from the discussion of her immorality, she turns the subject to the current debate between Jews and Samaritans about where one should worship. You know, a trapped animal will chew its own leg off. You know, "Why, yes, as long as we're talking about my adultery, what is your stance on where people should worship?" Changing the subject. A lie. We're too prone to do that too, when the heat gets too much. Seventh kind of lying is false witness or slander. And this perverse form of lying is to lie about someone else to gain advantage for ourselves. And this can be an outright false charge that we lay at somebody's feet, or it can be the subtle, "Have you heard about so-and-so? So sad, so sad." Think of the Pharisees, how they arranged for false witnesses at the trial of Jesus, or how during their ministry they said things like, "Yeah, he casts out demons, but he does it by Satan." Or when they said things like, "Well, we're not born of fornication." False witness, slander, a form of lying. Number eight is the reverse of that, and it's flattery. See, if gossip and slander are lies that you will only say behind somebody's back and not to their face, flattery is lying that you'll only say to someone's face and never behind their back. You see, flattery is saying nice things that you don't mean to gain advantage. To say, oh, what a beautiful dress, when in your heart you think, oh, that's ugly. That's a lie. I mean, if you don't think it's beautiful, then it's just like, that's interesting. I mean, that's honest, right? By the way, that's never happened at home, never. You know, to give a compliment you don't really mean, to praise someone that you would never praise in their absence. Yeah, and that's the key. Yeah, you can say to someone, oh, you know, that's, you're like this and you're like this. Can you say that to others about them when they're not there? That's the test. Otherwise, it's just flattery. In Proverbs chapter 7, the Bible speaks about the adulterous woman. What does she do to the foolish young man? It says, with much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. Flattery, form of lying. Ninth way in which we lie is boasting. And sometimes you watch these nature programs, and it's interesting how some animals have the ability to puff themselves up so as to look bigger, so as to frighten off their enemies. Well, that's kind of what humans do, don't they? With a form of lying, we puff ourselves up with basically hot air, and we say, yeah, I'm a lot smarter, I'm a lot stronger, I'm a lot wiser than you realize. You didn't know how smart I am, did you? You didn't know how successful I am, did you? You didn't know just what an incredible human being I am. And we puff ourselves up. And because we make it larger than it is, it's a form of lying. And you remember who God brought down within a flash was Nebuchadnezzar. So he walked through his hanging gardens and said, have not I, Nebuchadnezzar, produced and done all this? And what did God do? You're going to eat grass. Behave like an animal for a month or two. Boasting. Tenth way in which we lie is manipulation. That is, to use one tactic to gain another. Remember Delilah with Samson? She so wanted the secret of his strength so as to gain money and favor from the Philistines. So she manipulated him with her beauty and with statements like, how can you say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? You have mocked me these three times and has not told me wherein is thy great strength. Manipulation. And the final form of lying is deceiving or breaking promises. When we tell somebody that we're going to do something, but plan to do something else, it's a lie. When we tell someone something is one way, when we know in truth it's another, it's a lie. When the sons of Jacob, their daughter Dinah, their sister Dinah was defiled by one of the princes of the land, Shechem, and so they went to them and said, okay, you can marry her if you'll just all get circumcised. So they did that. The next day they were incapacitated. And what happened? Simeon and Levi went in and slaughtered all of them. That was sin. It's lying. Deceitfulness. Why did I take all the time to do that? Because we lie about our lying. So much of what we've looked at, we probably wouldn't call lying on an everyday basis. We lie in many ways. Hypocrisy, justifying ourselves, blaming others, avoiding others, changing the subject, criticizing and slandering, just a little bit of criticism there to make ourselves look better, flattering, boasting, comparing ourselves with others, manipulation, deceiving. And we do this sometimes with outright lies, sometimes with half-truths, sometimes by evading the truth, and sometimes by simply exaggerating. As I said, lying is not something we simply do, it's something we are. Apart from Christ, we will live a lie. Now, please recall that last time we said something critical. We said the unsaved man acts the way he does because he has not seen something, he doesn't know something. And what was that something? Jesus Christ. We saw it that it's that he doesn't see Christ. His sinful behavior comes from an ignorance to Christ. In the same way, lying in all these areas comes about as a result of a lack of exposure to Christ. If we're to put off lying and to put on truth, we must be continually exposed to Jesus Christ. To come to a place where we put off lying and put on truth, we must have our minds renewed by continually embracing Christ as the truth. Notice Jesus did not say in John 14 verse 6, I teach the truth. He didn't say, I know the truth. What did he say? I am the truth. What did he mean by such a statement? And don't miss this, because it's pointless knowing all about the symptoms and not get the cure. He meant that all pieces of information find their context and their true meaning in Jesus Christ. Remove Christ and all information becomes a lie. This is why John describes God as light. Light reveals what is. If we go and we switch off these lights, what is going to happen to us? How will we know what is in this room? How will we navigate? How will we not bump into things? How will we be able to function? We won't. You need the light to reveal what is so that you can operate. Well, Jesus Christ is the light that reveals what really is. You remove Jesus Christ, you won't have a clue. And any man who's not saved is fumbling around the universe. He is bumping around all his life, bumping into things because he does not have the light. It's not switched on. He can't see what is. He bumps into things and he says, oh, this must be a car. Oh, that must be this. And he does that spiritually all his life because there's no light. Jesus Christ is the light. Remove Christ and all things in the universe are darkness. You're in John. Go to John chapter 1. Look at verses 4 through 9. John 1 is speaking here about Jesus Christ, the Word, the eternal Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now notice verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You see, to embrace Jesus Christ as the truth, not just when you get saved, but for every day of your life as a believer, is to live quite literally in light of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? Jesus Christ is the spotlight. He's the lamp. He is the absolute guidance and direction for what we do, for what is, for understanding what is. To embrace truth, to embrace Christ as the truth, is to seek to know everything in light of Jesus Christ. In other words, who am I according to Jesus? Who is God according to Christ? Who goes to heaven or hell according to Christ? What are humans like according to Christ? It's to see myself and eternity and the world and others literally in light of Christ. And the more you do that, the more light you have, the more you see what really is. And can I say it like Jim Berg does? The more in touch you are with reality. The man who does not live this Christ-centered, Christ-focused life has a dim view of life. The light is not bright. He can see some things, but the less Christ-centered, the less Christ is his understanding, the less he's going to understand what life's really about. And he's going to lie. Where do we find this life through the eyes of Christ? Where do we find all things as lit up by Jesus Christ? In the Word of God. In this book. Forsake this book, and you switch off the light of reality. Love this book, meditate on it, take it in, and what you're saying is, give me the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. If you go to the first epistle of John, and I want you to notice the connection between light and honesty and lies and darkness. First John chapter 1. First John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, and we'll go back to the Gospel of John in just a moment. 1 John chapter 1, and look what he says. When you grasp what he's saying, it's so fundamental to living a life of truth. Verse 5, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all, no unreality in God. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light," in other words, if we embrace reality, what he says about us and himself, "if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin." Look at verse 8. "If we say that we have no sin," what do? "We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." Verse 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." Do you see the connection there? Christ is the light. Reject the light, reject what he says about you, you'll be walking in darkness. You will have no truth. Let me say this, that not wanting to face the truth about ourselves is the single biggest reason why people do not get saved. It's why they don't grow in the faith. They do not want to face the truth about themselves. Lies are a lot easier to take, a lot more soothing to the conscience. This is what Jesus said in John 3. You can read it with me if you like, John 3, and he was speaking to Nicodemus. John 3:19. He says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. You say, I don't want the truth, because it's going to be a spotlight that's going to show up how dirty my robe is. If I stay in the dark, at least I can pretend it's clean. Verse 21, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Embracing truth can be painful. You know, even the Greek philosopher Plato said, we can easily forgive a child who is afraid of the dark. The real tragedy of life is when men are afraid of the light. And they are. Let me ask you this. If we continually embrace Jesus Christ as our life, as our truth, as the truth, if we continually live in light of his word, if we continue to have him seek to reveal us as we really are, to know him as he is, to hide nothing from him, if I embrace his righteousness as my own, why would I want to deceive other men? What advantage would I have? If Christ is ever before me, if I'm seeking to please him and reflect his likeness back to him, what possible advantage can I get from lying? You see, the truth is this, when the fear of God is small in our eyes, then the fear of man will be big. And the result of the fear of man is lying. We lie because we're afraid of other men. We're afraid they'll expose us. We're afraid they will reject or ridicule us. We're afraid they'll harm us. So we lie to cover and protect and advance ourselves. Well, there's no need to do that when and if you embrace Christ as your covering, as the one who accepts you, as the one who protects you. See what I'm saying? Truth comes from so embracing Jesus Christ as your life that you no longer need the foolish and sinful vice of lying. You get no advantage from it by slipping back further into the darkness. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, our text tonight, gives us another reason why we're not to lie, and that is simply that we are members one of another. Putting away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor. Quote there of Zechariah 8:16. For we are members one of another. And more importantly, we're a member of the body of Christ, truth himself. Picture the damage. Picture the injury. Picture the harm that would occur if the members of your physical body lied to each other. Picture yourself in the kitchen as you put your hand on the stove, and it's boiling, it's absolutely red hot, and your hand says to your mind, it's lukewarm. You can hold it. It's fine. what will happen to your hand? What would happen if you, if your stomach told your brain, I'm not hungry, don't worry, you don't need to feed me for day after day after day. No food is necessary, I'm fine. What would happen? Severe problems, severe injury, severe sickness, even death. The fact is, your body always speaks truth to itself because it's part of the same body. And if we're all members of this body called Jesus Christ, who is the truth, for us to hide and deceive and pretend and flatter and boast and slander is completely unfitting. We are those believers who have come out of the darkness of deception. Truth is our environment. Truth is our currency. Truth is what we're supposed to live and breathe in. We're to walk in the light as He is in the light. It's what we deal in. We seek every Sunday, every Wednesday to preach the truth with one another. We share the truth. We know the truth. So nothing could be more contradictory than for believers to lie to each other. And so, like we said last week, put off the grave clothes. Put off the grave clothes of deception. The new man in you loves reality. He or she loves what really is. It desires truth about God, truth about self, truth about the world, truth about others. So we have our minds renewed as we continually receive and reflect Jesus Christ in the Word of God. And then we put off lying in all of its forms. We speak truth to one another. We speak the truth in love. And if I can take those forms of lying and replace them, in place of hypocrisy, we have sincerity, openness. In place of justifying, I confess and I forsake my sins. In place of blaming, I accept blame where it's real. I claim ownership for my sin. In place of avoiding others, I can be vulnerable. Vulnerable. In place of changing the subject when it doesn't suit me, I can talk things out that need to be said. In place of comparing myself with others, I focus on my walk with God to please Him. In place of criticizing, slander, false witness, I speak that which edifies. In place of flattery, I praise truthfully. In place of boasting, I can praise others. In place of manipulation, we seek to serve others. And in place of deceiving, as the Bible says in the book of Psalms, we swear to our own hurt. We keep a promise even when it harms us. We stick to it. You know, Jesus said this about the devil. He said, he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. You know what that means? When we deal in lies, we're going backwards. We're embracing what the devil does. We are retreating into a kingdom of darkness. There's no truth in the devil. He's totally absorbed by his own darkness. And when we lie, we're on his ground. Lying is the devil's stock and trade. On the other hand, Jesus Christ is the truth. The absolute reality. And what an absolute privilege to have reality as it is opened up to us through Jesus Christ. If you're a believer, if you've embraced Jesus Christ, you know what is, and increasingly so, because you relate to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the light of life that lights every man. And if you want to grow, if I want to grow, and I know you do, in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we must make Him the centerpiece, the one who sheds light on what is. I must want to know the truth about myself in light of Him. The truth about God in light of Him. The truth about life in light of Him, no matter how uncomfortable it may seem. You'll go forward for God if you'll embrace the truth even when you don't like it. The saying says the truth hurts. Yeah, it does. Initially. After that, it's beautiful. God does indeed have a wonderful plan for our lives in Christ. May we continually then live in the way that says, in Jesus Christ, I want the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. That's the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your grace and for the truth that you give to us. Our Lord, we do pray that you help us not to deal in lies and the various ways that we lie. God, I pray that we would put that off and put on the truth that you've revealed to us in Christ. Thank you for your word. Thank you for how it reveals things to us. May we deal utterly, truly with you and with ourselves so that you can grow us. Thank you for the light in Jesus Christ. And we pray in his name.